Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we have basically finished up our examination of Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. And so we come to the verses that follow, 6 and 7, which in many ways are a reinforcement of what we have seen. So let's address them and then, if possible, even move on beyond those today. But verse 6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with or destroyed, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." Now, this is a very important concept that is found several times in the New Testament scriptures. Most of us have probably memorized Galatians 2:20, which says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Similar concept to what we just read in Romans chapter 6. Or we could even consider the verses in the closing, just the closing part of Galatians chapter 5, which says this, and I had to turn and come to it. It says, "Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, all of these texts are similar. They are not, however, identical. And if we took each of them and examined them carefully, we would find minor differences and nuances of thought. But nevertheless, I think we can concentrate simply upon the basic principles that underlie these statements. And for that, we go back to Romans 6:6, "Knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." Now, what does that mean? Some have taken a text like this to teach the doctrine of sinless perfection, picking up on the language of verse 7, "For he who has died has been freed from sin," as if the word freed means freed from any taint of sin, any defilement of sin, any temptation of sin, that we are totally outside the reach of sin. But that is not what this means, though, however, someday that will be the reality. When we are with the Lord, all of the things that I just said will certainly be true, for they will be realized in that day. But that's not what occurs here upon the earth, and that is not what the Apostle Paul is saying. Now, please note what he is saying. Back to verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him." Paul is not here talking about something that we are currently continuing to do. This is not the "I die daily" concept, which is also found in the scriptures, in Paul's epistles, and is very important and very true. We are required to mortify, and that's the technical term, we are required to mortify sinful desires and passions every day. And that simply means that we say no to them. We recognize them for what they are. We recognize that they have no place in the life of a child of God, and we are regularly putting them to death, again, putting them to death, again, putting them to death. But that's not what Paul is saying here. And we have to understand that this daily dying to sin and self is predicated upon an historic dying to sin and self that occurred one time in the past. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. It was. Not it is being. It was. And so this links our death to Christ's death. Our old man, the old man is the man that we used to be before we were converted. Our old man is no more. Why? Because that old man was crucified with him. Now, of course, there are two elements involved here. At the time of Christ's crucifixion, we were not living. And yet, we need to understand that in the omniscient mind of God, we were there. Christ was dying for his people, and he knew who every one of them were. And so, if you are one of his people, you were in the mind of Christ when he was dying on the cross, and in the mind of the Heavenly Father, you were dying with Christ then, to be sure. However, in your practical experience, this took place at the time of your conversion, the time of your coming to Christ by faith, the time of your regeneration. And though those things are not exactly the same, regeneration, faith, and conversion are not identical terms, they're not exact synonyms, I think for our purposes here, we don't need to nail down precisely which one of these or something else is in view, but the point is this, at the time when you first came to Christ, at that time, your old man was crucified with him. And what is crucifixion? It's death. He was put to death. The old you died so that a new you could be raised to life. Now, we've already seen some of these concepts in the previous verses, so that's why I say this is something of a reiteration. But returning to verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now we're talking about something that is present, that is ongoing, that is future to the event when we died with Christ in his crucifixion. And what he's saying is this, the old man was put to death in order that we should presently no longer serve sin, no longer be slaves to sin. Our old man was crucified that the body of sin might be done away with. This body that used to be in the service of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be in the service of sin. We would no longer be slaves of sin. We have a new master. Now, in this, there is a divine reality. There is also a personal obligation. The divine reality is that when we were crucified with Christ, when we trusted him by faith, the power of sin was broken in our lives, and it can never have the same power that it had before. God did that. That goes back to Galatians 2:20. I am or have been crucified with Christ. That's in the passive voice. This is something God did to me. I have been crucified with Christ. He did it. And he did it in order to bring about permanent changes in my life. And so things are different now. Something's happened to me since I gave my heart to Jesus. Things are not the same. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. This is why the believer cannot continue with the same sinful lifestyle he had before he was saved. Anyone who thinks that is wrong. Anyone who lives that way is mistaken about his true condition. This is impossible. God has effected a powerful and permanent change within us. Our old man died when we trusted Christ, and it can never be the same again. What happened then has present and future implications, and they are not possibilities, they are not potentialities, they are realities. So, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And that's a fact, folks. That's the whole idea of our having been rescued out of the kingdom of darkness, where we were slaves to sin, and now we have been transferred, we have been resurrected as new people into a different kingdom, the kingdom of light, with a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are his willing bond slaves. We are no longer slaves to sin. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We don't serve sin because sin no longer has mastery over us. It no longer dominates us. We are no longer chained to it. We are no longer enslaved by it. We are no longer captive to it. We have been freed out of the prison house of sin. Does that mean that we never sin? Are we talking about sinless perfection? No. But we're talking about the fact that we can never be controlled and dominated by sin as we once were. That is impossible for every true child of God. Consequently, we read in verse 7, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." He who has died what? Died in Christ. Crucified with Christ. Knowing that our old man was crucified with him. Another way of putting this is, he who has been saved has been freed from sin. He who has been born again has been freed from sin. He who has been regenerated has been freed from sin. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the sinner free. His blood can make the vilest clean. His blood availed for me. You recognize that hymn. In Christ, we are freed from the domination of sin. It can never dominate us again. It can never control us and dominate us and be a cruel taskmaster over us ever again. We have been freed permanently from that condition, from being slaves to sin. We can no longer be slaves to sin anymore. We can't. Why? Because we belong to Christ. He has freed us. And when the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. And you can never be enslaved to sin in the same way again. Does that mean you can never commit sin? No. It actually is a fact that we do. We will be freed from the presence of sin when we are with the Lord in heaven. But right now, we have been freed from the power, the dominion, the domination of sin that once enslaved us. We couldn't break it free. Not on our power. We were not capable of doing that, but God, with his power, did that. And he brought about the death of our old man and brought about the resurrection of a new man in its place. And therefore, we can never be dominated by sin again. And that is the difference that Christ makes, and all of God's children are different from those who are unconverted. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman says, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.